You can go ahead and be seated. All right, open your Bibles up with me to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read from there. 2 Peter chapter 3, let's look at just verses 1 and 2 here. Peter writes and he says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Now, if you look at that over in the New Living Testament, here's kind of the way he says it. He said, "This is my second letter to you, dear friends. In both of them, I've tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory." So Peter's writing here, and he's writing to the beloved, he's writing to the church, and he says, listen, I want to stir up your mind and stir up the way that you think and put you in remembrance of the Word. You see, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he told him to stir up the gift that was in him. He was talking about the spiritual gifts that were in him. That's not what Peter's talking about. Peter's talking about stirring up their minds. Notice he says that they're pure minds. In other words, he's saying, I want to stir up the way you think and maybe get you out of some way that you've been thinking. Amen. He's trying to get them to look at the way they're thinking and stir themselves up. Now, the way we think will determine our level of accomplishment in whatever we're doing, both natural and spiritual. Amen. See, the way you think is going to determine your level of accomplishment, whether you're doing a natural thing or a spiritual thing. You know, I've used the little train, the little engine that could so many times. You know, I think I can. Well, you see, if you don't already have a mindset that you can, then you won't. Amen. Whether it's a natural thing or a spiritual thing. Now, you may not accomplish whatever you thought you was going to accomplish, but you surely won't accomplish it unless you go into it with the right mindset. You've got to make up your mind, I am a winner, I can do this, because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, we're not talking about natural things right now. We're talking about spiritual things and the things of God. So when we start talking about doing the things of God, we have to have that right mindset that we are of God and that we can accomplish anything in God. Can somebody give me an amen on that? See, we got to understand that we have to have our mindset and we want to focus on our spiritual side so that God can use us any way that He wants to. Well, one of the ways that we do that, and one of the things that helps us to do that, is found over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you want to jump over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And if we look over here, let's look at verse 3 here. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Now let's just stop right there just a second as far as it comes to our mind. A lot of times we think in our mind when we're being attacked, we're being attacked by somebody or something. But also understand that it's not about the flesh. You're not warring in the flesh. This spiritual is, we're talking about spiritual matters here. We're talking about the things that the enemy uses to come against us. Verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." This is part of what we're using as we're praying. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So now Paul's writing here to the church, and he's telling us, he says, listen, our fight is not with flesh and blood, and our weapons are not flesh and blood. Our weapons are mighty through God. To do what? To pull down strongholds. The enemy loves to have a stronghold in our life. Amen. You have to be careful. Now, we're praying against the strongholds in this area, but we also have to make sure that we recognize strongholds in our life. things that the enemy uses to bring us captive. Notice that. He says, our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Now notice that the next thing it says, casting down imaginations. See, I've taught on this many times before, but we've got to be careful that we don't let the devil play movies in our head, paint pictures in our head, stir in our mind, and cause us to have imaginations that are not of God. Amen. If the imagination you're having is not godly, then it needs to be cast down. Amen. And then he goes on and he says this, and he says, bringing every thought into captivity. Every thought into captivity that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So what's he saying? He's saying this, if the thought you're thinking is not a godly thought, then it's not of God. You need to bring it into captivity. You need to stop it. And see, here's the thing. You have to look at your thoughts. You have to gauge yourself and see exactly what is it that I'm going through. What's my mind going through? What's happening? You see, we have to bring that thought into captivity. And here's the thing. Don't let your voice give that thought birth. See, you can think something, but as long as you don't let it out, you can abort it. You can stop that thought. You can stop that process. That's why he says you cast down the imaginations. You bring the thought into captivity so that it doesn't come out of your mouth, because your mouth is the instrument that the enemy will use to give birth to thoughts that you shouldn't be having, or imaginations that you shouldn't be having. Amen. If you don't say it, if it doesn't come out, you see, because the words you say have power. Right? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So the way we speak, what comes out of our mouth, that's something that we have to be careful and make sure we're keeping a gauge on it. See, it's important, because the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he, talking about a man. So if we're not careful, we can be having these thoughts and we can be thinking things in our mind. And if we're not careful, the enemy will start injecting some things in there. Again, painting pictures, playing movies for us instead, to try to get us to talk about what we're thinking about. Come on now. If he can get you to, he'll get you to talk to yourself. Right? You'd be mumbling to yourself, talking to yourself. I'm guilty. I've been there and done that. But we have to be careful about what we think. We have to be careful how we give that thing or bring that thing to life. Now, look over here in Romans chapter 1 with me real quick. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 18 here. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. What's he saying? God said, I'm revealing and have revealed my word and myself to this generation, to this people. But he says a lot of folks are rejecting what I've given them. Even though they know the truth, they hold that truth, but in unrighteousness. In other words, they don't apply it to their life. Notice that. And he goes on and talks about them having the vain imaginations. In other words, he's talking about the fact that they know the truth, but they don't care what the truth says. They're going to think the way they and act the way they want to. Amen. And that's the way the world does. The world thinks and acts the way that it wants to, but we're not supposed to be doing that as children of God. We have to make up our mind how we're going to think and how we're going to act. You control the way you think. Amen. You have the ability to control that. Now, you can't help that a thought comes, but whether you hold on to that thought, you know, and build on that thought, let that thought grow, see, that's all up to you. When you realize it's not a godly thought, you know, realize it's not a thought from God, that's when you have to cast that thing down. That's why you, when you have to bring it into captivity. Let me take you something over to 1 Chronicles. Let's jump over there. Let me show you something over there. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 9 and 10, let me show that to you. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, look at verse 9. Now this is the charge to Solomon. This is when he's getting ready to take David's place and be king. Listen to what the Lord says to him. He says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee out, thee off forever." And notice that. Then he goes on and says, "Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Now, what was his charge to Solomon? Well, his charge to Solomon, first of all, was to serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. What's that mean? That means my heart's going to tell me the right thing to do. My spirit man's going to tell me the right thing to do. And I have to be willing to think on what he's telling me to do. I have to be willing to think on what he said that's right for me to be thinking about and what I'm supposed to be doing. Then he goes on and he says, you know, understand this, that the Lord knows our thoughts. He knows our imaginations. He knows whether it's good or whether it's bad. So he says, you know, if you're imagining good things, then he's going to help you. You're going to get this thing done. But if you're imagining bad things, then it's not going to happen. And then he goes on and he says, be strong and build the house. Now, can I tell you something? You and I are the sanctuary. Come on now. We're the sanctuary of the Holy Ghost. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You belong to God. You see, so our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So he's saying, listen, we've got to be strong if we want to build this sanctuary. The enemy will try to come against you. If you look back and you see the Word of God, you'll find out when they were trying to build back Israel or the walls back around Jerusalem, the enemy was always trying to keep them from getting it built and secure. He'll always attack you to try to keep you from getting your sanctuary secure. He'll come at you. He'll say things to you. He'll use thoughts and imaginations to try to get you to come down and quit building on what you've been building. But you, if you remember, the prophet said, listen, I don't have time to come off this wall and talk to you. I'm doing a work for the Lord. So you don't have to have time to get off over here on side roads and on side thoughts and the things the enemy's trying to get you to think about, because you're building a house of the Lord. Our sanctuary, we're building ourselves up to be a temple that God can use, because the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of us. Remember, the Word of God says that in every house that there's all kinds of utensils. You know, some's pot made out of clay and that kind of thing, and then some's gold and silver and precious metals. And he goes on and he says, listen, you need to strive to be a vessel of precious metal, one that's meet for the Master's use. In other words, one God wants to use, because I've stabled myself. I've got my thinking in the right place. My imaginations are to do things for God, not imaginations that'll take me away from God. And so he tells Solomon here, when you do these things, then you can be able to build the temple and things are going to go good. You can build the sanctuary and things are going to go good. Now, our thought life is a powerful tool, and understand this, that it can give entrance either to evil, or it can give entrance to the Word. Our thought life can do that. I said it the other day when I was talking about that. There are things, Eastern religions and that kind of stuff, that's not of God, that people practice all the time and they think there's nothing wrong with it. But listen, you know, there's nothing wrong in meditation, because I'm going to show it to you in a minute, but it depends on the meditation that you're doing. See, if you're doing some of this stuff that the Eastern religion wants you to do, then you're getting yourself in trouble, because you're opening yourself up for a spirit to be able to come in. But if you're meditating on the Word, what you're doing is opening yourself up for the Word to get into your life. So your thought life is so powerful. You have to understand that when I'm thinking about things, if I catch myself thinking and moving it, and I have before, haven't you before? You're through the daytime, maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking about something. You've been going along that line for a long time and realize, hey, God ain't got nothing to do with this thought. Am I the only one? Come on now. See, so you got to be careful about that, because it can give entrance to either evil or it can give entrance to the Word. In Joshua 1:8, if you want to go there, we've seen this scripture plenty of times, but this is when Joshua is getting ready to take over for Moses. Moses is dead. Joshua is going to be the leader. And verse 8, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." Notice there. It's the book of the law. It's the Word of God that doesn't depart out of his mouth. And it's the Word of God that he meditates on day and night. So what's he doing? He's talking the Word and he's thinking the Word. He said that thou mightest observe to do according to all that's written therein. Now listen. "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Why? Because I've been speaking the Word, I've been thinking the Word, my meditations, my thoughts have been on the Word, and because of the Word now, I'm going to make my way prosperous, and now I'm going to have good success, because I'm putting the Word first in my life. It's so important, church. I know the world doesn't, and most of the church doesn't. We just kind of float along through life. We get so busy with life and everything and get ourselves so tied up, so worn down, so much in trouble with the world that we forget really that we're not of this world. We're of the kingdom of God, and our thought life and our meditation and our imaginations ought to all be lined up with the Word of God. Doesn't matter what the world's doing. And don't matter what we're doing in the world, we should always make sure that we're lining up our thoughts and what we say with the Word of God. Now, go over here with me to Philippians, and we'll close this thing out here just in a minute. But over here in Philippians, Paul tells us, he says, listen, we need to make sure that we're thinking on the right things. Actually, Hebrews says, you know, when we're thinking on the Word, he says the Word of God's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God knows what we're thinking, but the thoughts also can be guided by the Word of God. But over here, Paul tells the Philippians here in chapter 4, verse 8, he says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you." Notice what he says there. He says there are things that you can think on, and these are the things that's going to help you once again to achieve what God wants you to achieve. If you allow yourself to get caught up in the thinking of the world, it's going to cause trouble for you. But if you get yourself caught up in the things of God, then it's going to bring godliness to you. It's going to bring the things of God to you. Now, I made a little note here that just says this. Don't let your thought life stink up your anointing. Don't let your thought life, see, because you can do that. Every one of us is anointed. Every one of you are anointed. But you have to be careful how you're thinking, because your thought life can mess with your anointing. Amen. You can allow it to cause it to wane, or you can cause it to build it up because you're thinking the right things. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand with me. Is there anybody here that you want to give your life to Jesus? Anybody here that you want us to lay hands on you and believe God with you for something? All right. Daryl's not up there. Here's what I want us to do, and they can put us on something. I want us to take about the next 5 minutes, and here's what I want you to do. we're just going to pray. Now, if you want to get out from where you're at, we prayed last night. But if you want to get out from where you're at and just walk around and pray, or if you want to get where you're at, if you want to sit down, I don't care if you lay down. I don't care. But for the next 5 minutes, we're just going to pray. Now, you can pray in the Spirit, or you can just pray in English. It doesn't matter. But I want you to give God glory. I want you to just offer up to Him thanksgiving for the next 5 minutes. Can we do that? All right, let's do that. Let's go ahead and pray.